is Pentecost is next week, right? Like tomorrow, day after tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yep.
Welcome.
Well, what am I going to do with that visitor? Maybe he'll be done. I'll just tell him he has to go.
He's coming in
today. Tell him he has to go.
Today, he comes in today.
Oh, I thought he was coming in yesterday.
Yeah, he was, but his wife objected, so he's coming in today. I've got to call him and tell him and give him your cell number.
Why don't we not do that?
No, I've got it because I'm going to be gone this afternoon. And I'm the only contact number, so.
What time did you come get in?
I don't know. But it'll be this afternoon sometime because he's leaving this morning. I should have called him. I don't have his cell number either, so. Where is everybody? Now I'm getting mad. Is this us?
I guess so.
Mr. Jeff and I are going to have a talk.
I took a nap yesterday before a Bible study, and Darlene knocked on my door just because Evie wanted to get in, and that was at 8. I thought it was 8 a.m. So for about 15 minutes, I started conducting my day as if it was 8 a.m. I was making coffee, I was eating breakfast, and going off in the mouth at about how I was so busted because I forgot to record morning meeting. 15 minutes. And until I didn't realize until I went outside for a smoke and I went, God, it looks like 7 a.m. out here and it's so hot. And I went back in the house and I looked at Darlene and I said, is it 8 in the morning? She goes, it's 8 at night. I went, wow.
Is this on?
Oh, yeah.
It's been recording.
I'm sitting down for the half hour right now.
Well, I didn't know whether you just decided to...
It's on.
We are continuing, studying, continuing. You continue with him in his temptation, in his test. If you grew up in a church or listened to religious sermons, etc., then you always hear that, you know, this Satan made me do it, or Satan is tempting us, or Satan is doing this or that. And let me make it perfectly clear. Satan does not tempt us to do wrong. It's not his job. Satan tempts us to have our point of view shift from God to man. The human race wills to do wrong. That's what it does. Because the wrong, the essence of wrong, is self-realization, self-seeking. That's sin. And so go to James. It's 5, I think, but I'm not sure. James 4. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war and have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Now remember, lust is this word. It just means wanting the situation that you're in to be different than it is. That's what the word lust means. I don't know how it got... I don't know why it was translated lust here, because in the Greek, it's just a word that means you want whatever is going on at any given moment to be different than it is. You comprehend that? You want other people to be different than they are. You want your situation to, you want to be healed. You want to be anything, but you ask amiss because you ask to consume it on your own lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Spirit saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth to envy? So the whole idea of every issue, every problem in the human race comes, its source is lust. You know, that's the essence of the meaning of the Lord of the Ten Commandments. It's that every aspect of the Ten Commandments. Paul said it. Go to Romans 7. What?
That's fine.
Huh?
Nothing.
What?
No worries.
Why?
Romans 7. You don't do small talk.
Well, see, now I got myself all off on a different course. Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 1. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? And then it gives the example. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, he's using the relationship and marriage between a man and a woman. He's using that to understand that we're married to the law, but now we are married to grace. And that's the whole big deal. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet.
Thank you.
How can you not covet? How can that be? How can you not want things to be different in your life? You want more money, you want more peace, you want more love, you want more this, you want more that. That's the nature of the beast. And it never, and it's, the rabbis say it's like the river, a river flowing into the ocean. It can, and the ocean can never be filled. So the more you get, the more you want. The more, I mean, so it's a constant. So the question is that how this stuff doesn't make any sense. This is why it's not studied, because how can you not want things to be different? Does anybody have any idea? The only way you cannot want things to be different is to see and have seen over and over and over again that that just leads to more lust. It's like what it does, obviously, is it resurrects the evil one from the deadly head wound. Because if you want anything to be different than it is, then your point of reference is no longer eternity on the mercy seat. Your point of reference is time and space. And if you're in time and space, that means the flesh has been resurrected. So the issue is not what you want. The issue is wanting itself. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, wanting to consume it on your own lusts. Peace. So what happens then? How can this be? The only way that this makes any sense is that we have run the rabbit, as we say. We've pushed everything to the limit, and we found out that all human activity is empty, vain, fruitless. Including the best that I can be is less than empty and vain and fruitless. And so that we come now from a different source. Our source of understanding, our source of stimulus, our source of everything is no longer that which exists in time and space. We are tied to this point outside of time. We are seated on that place. That is our only reference point. And that's why we talked yesterday about how you respond to things. You respond. Christ never responded to what he saw, felt, heard, or smelled. He responded only to the Father after his baptism. Before his baptism, he was like the human race. He was tested in all ways as we are. Now the question is, are we going to be continuing with him in his test, or are we still believing that we have something going on? Once you believe you have something going on, then you can only lust. That's all you can do. But now you're lusting in God's name. And that's why the prosperity gospel, or those who preach gain is godliness, is so evil. A little bit. So the issue is never the issue is never what you think it is. Oh, so and so should be different. No, that's not what it is. You're lusting. So therefore, you've resurrected the evil one. You have left, you've fallen from the strong city, and now you're back meddling and messing around in time and space and have left the mystery. So the only way back is not to change the situation. I mean, you've heard me say it 100 times, but this place and what I'm doing is my worst nightmare, from my mind standpoint. There is nothing about what I do that my mind likes. Nothing. Last night, again, I resisted teaching for almost 5 years. I wouldn't do it, even though I know you're coming. Because I knew I had an inkling of what would happen. So when I finally started teaching, I had a Bible study once a week, Tuesday nights, 7:30. Sometimes somebody would come. But many, many times nobody came. But I had, my point of reference could not be that issue. My point of reference was that I finally understood that I was supposed to teach. Now, here, it's happened again last night. Nobody came to Bible study. But it bothered me not in the slightest. It's not my business. It's God's business. But if I make any reference to anything in time and space, then I have lost the mystery and I have returned and resurrected the evil one. Oh, such and such. Elders should be different than they are. I've heard that one a million times. Well, first of all, you should tell them. Second of all, you've missed the whole point of it. You've missed the whole point of everything. Because you're sitting in the judgment seat instead of the mercy seat. And that's true for everything. Oh, so-and-so should be, so-and-so and I are having a problem. Well, so what? It's not an issue. The question is, are you going to continue with him in his temptation, or are you still being deceived to think that something is going on with you and somebody else, or you and this, or you and that? A little bit of understanding. You, if he's talking to the disciples, you are they that continue with me in my test, my temptation. The whole temptation of Christ was that he, his point of view, that Satan was trying to change his point of view so that he would be of value to men instead of God. That's the only thing that Satan is doing in your life. He's trying to cause you to shift your point of view from God to man. Now, with regard to doing wrong, or Satan made me do it, or Satan is attacking us, or whatever, let's go to John 8. You know Bible? You're welcome to speak up anytime you want. So is everybody else. So everything I've said, nobody had any reaction to anything I said. Yeah, I had a reaction, but I didn't want to interrupt you. Why? Interrupt me.
With what?
Do you have any reaction or response to anything that was said thus far?
How can you respond to something that exists? I mean, there's no argument about it.
I didn't ask for an argument. I said, do you have any response? Do you have an amen? Do you have anything?
No.
So your mind has just been sitting there blank. Nothing's been going on.
Is that what you think?
Well, if what we are is if something's going on, you let it out, then it's obvious because you're silent. You think you're learning something. John 8. Just for a point of reference, let's go to John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Okay? So it's, you understand, we've established that he's not talking to unbelievers, or he's talking to people that believed on him. Everybody got that point? So then, let's go up to verse 34. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. I wished I could read. But the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Now he's talking to the people that believe on him. I know you seek to kill me. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Now he is this, you can't believe, the Jews' pride, the Jews believed that by birthright they were in the kingdom of heaven, and by the only way that they could be departed from the kingdom of heaven is if they screwed up and really did something really wrong. So he just destroyed this core belief. It was like saying, you know, God doesn't love you. Or 10 times worse. Now the Jew, now this got their attention. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now, what he's saying is, they weren't seeking to kill him. They were, you know, by any sensory perception, they were following him. They wanted to learn something. They wanted to see something. But he says, you're seeking to kill me. How do you understand what that means? But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they went crazy. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Now, do you see the depth of that? Why can't you understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Because everything that they heard was on the basis of self-seeking. How can I use this? What does this mean to me? What would be the result if I did this? A little bit.
So is it their fault for thinking that way?
Doesn't matter whose fault it is. It's the fruit of the fall.
Right. So is it sin?
Hmm?
So is it sin for them to naturally?
Of course. Again, sin in what you do, sin is what you are. No, what? It's not fair.
It's not fair, it's impossible.
That's right.
That's right.
Unless you get a lobotomy.
No, you don't get a lobotomy. You finally start having some integrity in your mind.
How long did it take you to do that?
Well, who knows whether I did it or not? That's God's business. But you don't have any more wants, what ifs, what onlys.
Right.
It implies you should do things differently, and that's where I go crazy. That's where I have a problem. How can people do things differently than the way they're?
How can a leopard change his spots? Is the way Jeremiah discussed it. You can't. That's why you must die.
We've got poisoned hearts.
All right, now listen. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will to do, is what it says. In other words, that's what Satan does. Satan causes you to lust, to want things to be different, to try to get to the best of the best, to try to be the best, to try to succeed, to try to be something. That's their job. That's his job. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will to do, is what it really says. In other words, that's all you're capable of willing to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. That's huge. Okay, then they really went insane. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? And actually, in Greek it says, thou art of Samael, the chief of demons, and hast a devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then the Jews... Now, you got to understand. He is talking to his congregation. He's not talking to them. Then the Jews said unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never die, or never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? What makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, this is the essence of what it means as to whether you'll continue with him in his temptation, because I promise you, the Spirit of God will reveal the depth of your iniquity to see how every thought is centered on either, not on God, but on the point of view of man. And this is why we must understand this mystery of the cross. We must see that there's been this being masquerading as us. And his name is the instead of Christ. Can you get a sense of what Jesus said to this group of people that believed on him, his congregation? What? All right. Anything? Take a big guy.